From NPR, it's the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the top. This week we're broadcasting from Trinity United Methodist Church in Huntsville, Alabama. That's our host, Christopher O'Reilly, at the piano. Today we'll hear outstanding musicians from 13 to 18 years old, including a typically weird bassoonist, that's her word, and a young guitarist whose stomach has a name. And special guest soprano Angela Brown will join us to tell the amazing story of how she discovered classical music because of a teacher here in Huntsville, and to sing Mozart with an amazing teenage soprano. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Once again, here's our host, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks very much, and welcome. It's great to be back in Alabama. We try to get here at least once a year. Anyway, thanks to our hosts, the Huntsville Chamber Music Guild and its wonderful Celebrity Series. This show really does have a real Huntsville flavor to it. Our very special adult guest star, the wonderful soprano Angela Brown, went to college right here in Huntsville, where, as Joanne mentioned, she met a very special teacher. We'll meet Angela in the second half of our program. And two of the kids on today's show are from Huntsville. We're going to start our program by hearing both of them. So let's get going. Please welcome the first of those Huntsville kids from Harvest, Alabama, just down the road, 16-year-old bassoonist Kian Anderson. Kian, you've brought a lively piece to start us off. Why don't you tell everybody what it's going to be?
It's the Telemann Sonata in F minor. I'm playing the Allegro movement.
All right, let's take it from the top. Thank you. Kieran Anderson, our 16-year-old bassoonist from right here in the Huntsville area, starting us off with some Telemann from the Sonata in F minor, the Allegro movement. Really nicely done, and I really love on the return all those very serendipitous ornamentations that you put on there. Almost improvised. Beautiful. Different things in performance than in rehearsal. And just great, great to follow and great to hear. Great to start us off with. So, Kian, I understand that you think that all bassoonists have to be a little weird.
Well, you have to be crazy to even play the bassoon, so...
It is a unique instrument. You don't see too many rock bassoon players, for instance. You don't see a lot of folk music, you know, sitting around the campfire.
Hey, but we can do it, though.
Could do it.
It's not impossible.
Kumbaya on the bassoon, though.
Oh, yeah, we can do it.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah? You'd go for it?
Yeah.
If you're going to embrace your weirdness, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that make you weird, aside from the fact that you play the bassoon. How's that? Is that okay?
Yeah, okay, I guess.
All right. So first of all, you hate skirts, although I see you're wearing a lovely one tonight. Why do you hate skirts? I hear this.
Their pants are just so much more comfortable. It's like if I wasn't wearing this tonight, I wouldn't wear it at all. My parents completely made me wear this skirt. It's...
I know how you feel. My parents totally made me wear these pants. But do you like the outdoor activities of the tomboy kind of thing? I mean, you like wearing pants more often?
Yeah, I think I probably picked it up just for my brothers because I had three of them.
That's not so weird. I understand that. Here's something that might be considered weird, for unusual for a girl your age. You adore cars.
Oh, yeah. I have fancy cars, and their designs and how they look. The more curves, the better.
How about that? Well, I'm agreeing with you there. What's your favorite car? What's your fantasy car?
I can't pick, but my two top are the Lotus Elise and the Ultima GTR.
Now, with all this talk about cars, you're 16 and you don't have your license. I mean, you've got your learner's permit, I guess?
Yeah, I have my permit. I can drive as much as I can as long as I bring my parents along.
But how come you don't have your license yet?
It's this thing.
It's the bassoon. It all comes back to that. Time practicing and...
Yeah, it just takes up all the time in the world.
Making reeds for the bassoon.
Making bad ones.
Making bad reeds and going to rehearsals and things like that and lessons. Well, last but not least, I hear you can make some really great, weird sound effects with your instrument.
Yeah, you want me to show you?
Yeah. What have you got, first of all?
Well, I have the lightsaber act, which is you play the lowest note... And you basically wave it around like a stick. What was that?
I am your father, Luke.
So go ahead and let's hear your lightsaber. Nice. That's good. I love that sort of spatial effect. That'll sound nice on the radio, too. What else?
Oh, I can make a helicopter noise.
A helicopter?
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, you're taking your reed off your vocal there.
And then...
Because all our kids at home, you know, who are being forced to play the bassoon are going to want to know how to do this, so...
Yeah, of course, because it's a helicopter.
All right.
You just basically tongue it.
Wow. Pretty cool. Very cool. Nice sound effects. I like the lightsaber. I like the helicopter a lot, but I love the Telemann especially. Thanks for coming and opening the show so beautifully. Thank you, Kian.
Thanks for being with us.
Kian Anderson, 16-year-old bassoonist from here in the Huntsville area.
I know you're asking yourself, statistically, are bassoonists really weirder than other musicians? You can conduct your own research at our website. We offer comparative profiles of all the young musicians who've been on our show. That's fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, helping young people of exceptional promise achieve their full potential through education. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is also from here in Huntsville, Alabama. He's a fine 18-year-old pianist named Carter Pelham. Please welcome him. Carter, you've brought us a great piece of virtuoso piano playing by Franz Liszt. Tell everybody what it is.
The piece is Un Sospiro by Franz Liszt.
So tell us, I mean, some of the things that are hard about this piece are the intervals, the stretches. How big a hand do you have to play this piece?
You have to have a pretty big hand. Actually, Franz Liszt had, like, extremely big hands. He was able to reach something like a 13th on the piano, which is really big. I could probably reach maybe a 10th or something. And so it's kind of hard to reach some of the bigger intervals. I had to change some of the fingerings or maybe do like a rolled chord instead of a played chord, but I think I got most of it, hopefully.
He was really flaunting those big hands. He just like wrote the chord and said, okay, yeah, you can stretch this, right? Oh, you can't. Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I've heard you play this piece. You really get around it pretty well. It's going to be a thrill to hear it. Let's hear you play. Carter Pelham, our 18-year-old pianist from here in Huntsville, playing Franz Liszt, Un Sospiro. In a beautiful performance, too.
Thank you.
And in a truly blessed acoustic, I might add. This church sounds really, really great, the way you play in it. It's fantastic. You're quite, you know, you've got quite an aptitude for the piano, and not only that, but for learning in general. You're quite a scholar. What's this about you getting a perfect ACT score?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. It wasn't actually quite perfect. There's four sections on the ACT, and you can get a 36 on each. Uh-huh. And I got three 36s and one 35.
What a slacker.
They still said it was perfect, so yeah. I'll take it.
So this scholarship has stood you in good stead. You're the captain of an academic team. What is this? Is this sort of a school thing? Or?
Yeah, in high school I was the captain of the academic team. And what it is, it's like a four-person team, and you do competitions. Like, it's kind of Jeopardy style, except for you're working in like a four-person team versus another four-person team. And, you know, somebody will be reading a question, and if you think you know the answer, you just buzz in and say the answer. And if you get it right, your team gets points. If you get it wrong, it's either 0 points or a penalty, depending on the rules.
So for these meets, for these, you know, these competitions, you've got a lot of learning to do and a lot of memorization, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just, you know, whether you know it or not. But then there's, like, some things you can study. Like, there'll be lists of, like, famous artists or famous authors or whatever, and just, like, some of their works and some about their life, and you'll have to learn all the stuff on the list. Because, I mean, it's just stuff that comes up more often in the questions.
I heard that you memorized the names of all the presidents and the vice presidents of the United States.
Yeah, we had to do that, too.
You could actually recite them?
Yeah, I could, yes.
Oh, Carter, there was a time in this great land of ours when every American girl and boy had to memorize the names of the presidents. And now, well, it's all but a forgotten art. Before you leave, would you do us the honor, just for old time's sake?
Okay, Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, Martin Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Grant, or Johnson, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, Teddy Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, George Bush, Clinton, and George W. Bush.
Well, you can only get that kind of education right here in Huntsville.
That's
good for
true,
you,
yeah.
Carter. Good man, great pianist, wonderful having you on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Carter Pelham, 18-year-old pianist from here in Huntsville. Well, we've actually got some kids on the show who didn't grow up here in Huntsville, so you're going to be nice to them anyway, right? Okay. Please welcome, from Milwaukee, Oregon, 13-year-old guitarist Travis Johnson.
Chris?
Yes, Joanne.
Well, before Travis plays, I wanted to check out how Frederick's feeling. Travis?
Well, Frederick's, he's doing pretty good. Frederick, he's okay. He's
pretty
okay.
Good?
Yeah,
and tell the audience, who is Frederick?
Well, Frederick is my stomach. He was named by my brother, Tanner. And if Frederick kind of, he controls my body, if Frederick's not happy, I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy... Nobody's happy.
So I hope Frederick's happy right now. No need for a PB&J right at this minute?
No, you're okay. He's okay. He's fine now, for now. Yeah. Yes.
But that is Frederick's snack of choice, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Travis, now that we know that Frederick is going to allow you to play, what's it going to be?
I'm going to play Boppin' by Brian Johansson.
Well, now, tell everybody, Travis, what this piece is, how this piece came about. You were responsible for the birth of this piece.
Yes, my parents and I commissioned it. After a competition I did, my teacher wanted me to learn a modern work. And so we contacted Brian Johansson, who is a composer for guitar and orchestras and choirs and chamber music groups and all that stuff. And so we asked him to write a guitar piece, solo guitar. And so we went to his office one day, and he had two ideas, and one of them was Boppin', and so we chose Boppin'.
Fantastic. Let's hear it.
Okay.
We heard 13-year-old guitarist Travis Johnson from Milwaukee, Oregon, playing a piece he and his parents commissioned by Brian Johansson. It's called Boppin'. Cool piece, Travis. That's a winner. You bought yourself a good piece.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you.
Right.
Now, Travis, everyone in your family plays an instrument.
Exactly, yes.
Tell us.
Okay,
who plays what?
My brother, Ben, he plays the electric bass and the stand-up bass. Mm-hmm. And then my sister, Andrea, who also appeared on From the
she
Top.
She was here, not too long ago.
She plays piano.
Very well, yes.
And then my brother, Tanner, he plays the violin.
And who played guitar in your family? Anybody?
Yes, my grandpa played. Yes.
There you go. So quite the bloodline, mm-hmm, musically.
Yeah.
Now, your family helps you in a very non-musical way when you're preparing for a competition. Tell us about that.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take my piece and I'll sit down somewhere in my house, and they're all line up in front of me in the chairs, and they'll all get really scratchy notepads and scratchy pencils, and they'll be really scary judges, and I'll be playing in front of them, and they'll be like whispering to each other, "His hair is messy."
Trying to be a disruptive jury.
Exactly, yes.
What else do they do?
They just scratch on the notepads. Mm. They say, "Did you mess up? Oh, I'm sorry." Something like that.
Clucking their tongues.
Oh, yes, all that stuff.
How about candy wrappers? Any candy wrappers?
They haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, yeah, got to do the candy wrappers.
I won't tell them. But
and calling their manager on the cell phone, that kind of thing.
Go, I gotta go.
That's great. So it works. Obviously, you were one of only 11 kids invited to the Parkening International Guitar Competition. Christopher Parkening runs that competition out of where? Where does that happen?
Out of Pepperdine University in California. But everyone there was so nice. It was so well organized, and all the competitors were so nice and welcome. And so, yeah.
So everybody's in there in each other's fan club by the end of it. That's fantastic. Well, we've joined your own fan club in a big way. You, Travis, happen to be a recipient of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you. Thank you. Now, keeping the big muscles in shape as well as the small muscles, I guess we can't, with the fingernails, you have to, you can't be jamming your fingers with basketball or anything.
Can't do that. No, that's a naughty.
So what do you do to keep active?
I'm on a swim team, and that can still be kind of dangerous, because if you come into the wall for a finish, they teach you to reach out, and if you reach out with the wrong hand, you can break a nail, and that puts you down for like 2 weeks on the guitar. And you're out of business, and you...
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Travis, stick around, and we'll let you compare manicures with our special guest, soprano Angela Brown.
Thank you.
How's
I'd love
that?
To do that.
We'll do that.
Yes, thank you.
After the station break, she's going to come out, and you're going to accompany her.
Yes.
You ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
We're psyched for it, too. Thanks a lot, Travis.
Thank you very much.
Bravo. Travis Johnson, 13-year-old guitarist from Milwaukee, Oregon.
If you loved listening to Travis's amazing performance, make sure to tune in to watch him perform on our TV show. Season 2 of From the Top at Carnegie Hall hits the small screen this spring, and Travis and many of your favorite From the Top performers are taking part. Stay tuned to PBS.org for listings or to watch episodes of our TV show on demand.
Support for NPR comes from the Music Performance Fund, striving to enrich lives by sponsoring thousands of free concerts in the United States. Schedules at musicpf.org. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Details are at gatesfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, helping to build a more just future for the nation and the world at macfound.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
That was our host, Christopher O'Reilly, performing Rider on the Wheel by Nick Drake. You're listening to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're broadcasting from Trinity United Methodist Church in Huntsville, Alabama. Coming up, our outstanding young musicians perform with today's special guest, soprano Angela Brown. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show is presented by the Huntsville Chamber Music Guild, with special thanks to the Bonefish Grill and radio station WLRH. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Now I want you all to meet our very special guest, a wonderful soprano, Huntsville has a right to claim as one of her own. Angela Brown made her Metropolitan Opera debut at just about this time 2 years ago when she jumped in at the last moment to sing the title role in Aida. She was then hailed by one critic as the future of opera. It turns out that, as popular as Verdi's operas are, few lyric sopranos today can meet their demands. Angela Brown has what it takes. But her studies didn't begin at Juilliard, rather here in Huntsville at Oakwood College, where a voice teacher named Ginger Beasley recognized her gift. Please welcome back to Huntsville, Angela Brown. Welcome, Angela. We've been looking forward to this for an awfully long time.
Oh,
as you
too.
Can tell, everybody here has too. We're going to talk in a minute at length, but first we'd love to hear you sing. I believe you've met our 13-year-old guitarist, Travis Johnson.
Mr. Firefingers himself.
Right. That's right. Angela, tell us about this spiritual you're going to sing. It's an adaptation of a Moses Hogan arrangement. Is this, yes?
Yes. It's on my newest CD entitled Mosaic, a collection of African-American spirituals with guitar and piano. And it's Every Time I Feel the Spirit. When me and Tyron Cooper, who was my guitarist on this project, when we were getting this together, it just was befitting a guitar because it had that nice little, you'll hear.
All right. Look forward to it. Stage is yours. Our very special guest, Angela Brown, a soprano, accompanied by 13-year-old guitarist Travis Johnson in the Afro-American spiritual, Every Time I Feel the Spirit. Travis, thanks very much. Angela, beautiful. Let's
Thank
learn a little
you.
Bit more about you.
All right.
Now, you grew up singing, but you didn't initially plan on a life in classical music.
No, not initially. When I first came to Oakwood College, I wanted to be a Bible instructor and also be a gospel singer.
Mm-hmm. You know, so because I've sung all my life. I've sung every genre of music I think there could be, except for maybe country and a little blues or something like that. But
your grandfather had a church in Indianapolis.
My grandfather was a Baptist minister in Indianapolis, Indiana.
That's right. So you came to Oakwood. So Bible study brought you to Oakwood College. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. This comes up all the time on this show, the importance of that one teacher, that one connection. Tell us about that.
Miss Ginger Beasley. I call her the mama of my voice. That's right. Let's give it up for Ginger. You know, I often say that if it wasn't for Mrs. Beasley and hearing the talent that I had, that I would not have found Virginia Zayani at Indiana University, who was also her teacher. Oh. So there was this great marriage between Indiana University and Oakwood College. And Mrs.
And a
Beasley
tradition,
would send,
a long
yeah,
tradition,
it was a big tradition.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing for me. The
Fantastic.
Lord blessed.
Fantastic. You're also such a great example of how you have to sometimes try and try again to get what you want. For example, the first Met audition wasn't the one that got you your big debut, was
no.
it? How long did it take?
I did the Met auditions, which were the council auditions, which was the competition.
Yeah.
I did that four times. Mm-hmm. And the fourth time I said, well, you know, you can't hurt my feelings by saying no anymore, you know? So I'm walking around with no like he's my man. I'm like, yeah, you know? So me and no got along real well. And then yes came, and I threw no out the door.
That's great. So since that yes moment with the mm-hmm. Met auditions, I guess that was the Star is Born moment. You went from there to understudying, or how did it
well,
come about?
Well, actually, no. You know, a lot of people think once you win the Metropolitan Opera auditions, council auditions, that, you know, you immediately go and have performances on the Met stage or some kind of capacity, but that wasn't the case for me. It wasn't until 2000, really, when I auditioned again for main stage Metropolitan mm-hmm. Opera, mm-hmm. and they offered me the understudy roles mm-hmm. of Aida and Ariadne at that time.
Wow, those are big roles. Those
yeah.
are fantastic roles. So what happened? When did the call come, and what happened? What did you feel?
A colleague of mine I was covering, I think the second season I was covering, Aida, she was making her Metropolitan Opera debut at the same time, and she had gotten sick and told me the night before, Angela, you're going to have to maybe sing the Zitzprobe. And mm-hmm. the Zitzprobe is the big orchestra rehearsal that you have before you really start going into costumes and staging and everything. And so I was like, oh, sure, girl, I'll be ready. And I'm saying to myself all the time, you know you ain't going to let me sing in front of the orchestra, the conductor, and God. Come on now.
Yeah.
You're not going to give me that opportunity. So I really didn't take it seriously. Well, the next morning, she came up to me and she said, are you ready? And I was like, what do you mean, am I ready? And she says, Angela, I told you last night. She gave me her best girlfriend, okay? Angela, I told you last night that I might not be singing today because, you know, I'm not feeling real well. So are you ready? And so she says, I tell you what, I'm going to sing the first few lines. If they sound all right, then I'll continue singing. But if I feel any strain or anything, mm-hmm. then it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. Well, she sang the first lines of Aida. Mm-hmm. And she did, you know, and it was beautiful. And then she said, after she finished her, you know, long line, then she goes, she sits down and gives me the gun. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, okay. So I had to stand there with blinders on.
Yeah.
And I sang through Aida with the orchestra. So once I got home, because I was a cover, I had my own cover rehearsal that afternoon.
Wow.
So I had to sing through Aida twice in the same day. So needless to say, I was spent. I was ready to be in the tomb with Radamet, you know. And so something said, okay, you didn't turn on your phone. So I turned on my phone, and it started shaking and jingling, and I lifted up the receiver, and all I could hear was my agent hollering, Angela, what did you do? The Met called and offered you 2 performances and 12 covers for 2004-05 season.
Wow.
What did you do?
Wow.
And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I did a good old gospel shout right there on the train tracks. You know?
Well, Angela, things have really taken off, but one of the great things I find is that you're still so grounded. I particularly admire the outreach program you take to Black churches and community centers. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's called Opera from a Sister's Point of View. Now, and I would like to say this, not only, I did begin it in African-American churches, but it's something that I think that reaches to all people. And what it is just a concert, but I put in little interjections about the different operas that I sing and what's happening at the aria that I'm singing that evening, what's happening at that time in the opera. And I do it a little tongue-in-cheek, have a little fun with it, relax people, let them know opera is crazy, first of all. And it ain't that deep, you know. I mean, when you think about some of the plots that opera give you, you know, this Swiss cheese, you know, you can see through that. You know what's going to happen, you know, except for in that Aida thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to let you know, Aida going, she had gotten away in the third act. She had gotten away with her daddy. Now, her daddy gets killed, but they never find Aida. She brings her dusty behind back. Because it's in the desert, she's dusty. She brings her dusty behind back and crawls in the tomb with Radames. Now, that's the one that threw me for a loop. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I mean, you're playing Aida, but
as Aida,
Angela, would you do
Angela,
that?
As Angela, uh-uh. Mm-mm. It's too many fish in the sea. Another bus is coming. You know?
You are truly an inspiration. We're now going to meet a 17-year-old singer who'd probably love to follow in your footsteps. Why don't we all welcome a 17-year-old soprano from Santa Cruz, California, Natalie Ballinger. Natalie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Are you okay singing in front of, you know, one of our country's greatest sopranos? I mean, you know, are you nervous or anything?
Not too bad.
Once I heard her sing yesterday, the first thing I did after this rehearsal is I went and called my agent. I said, oh my goodness, are all my contracts in ink?
She is coming up.
I was like, because she's on her way. This girl's voice is fabulous.
Thank you. Your show.
Angela, if you'd like to take a seat over in the From the Top hot tub while we hear Natalie. Natalie, what are you going to sing? Tell us a little bit about the story of this song.
I'll be singing Miranda by Richard Hageman, and it's derived from a poem by Hilaire Belloc, and it's telling the story of a man who remembers the good old days watching cars roll by in Spain. And
a little Spanish guitar.
Days, yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun song. Let's do it.
Thank you.
Spreading of the snow for a wedding.
Natalie Ballinger, 17-year-old soprano from Santa Cruz, California, singing Miranda by Richard Hageman. So, Angela, what do you think?
Fabulous, honey.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful.
She's a natural, I think.
She really is.
Natalie, you actually say that you came out of the womb a singer.
Yes. My mom used to tell me the story of when I was first born. I guess I came out screaming very, very loudly at the top of my lungs. And the doctor turned to her and said, "Man, has she got a set of lungs." So she just kind of knew from then on that something was going to come down the road with it.
And so you want to make music a career?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Do you have the tendencies to become a diva, do you suppose? Do you have that kind of personality?
Not really. You have to be competitive, but I've worked with a couple divas and it's just not fun. And I just would rather not be one myself, just mm-hmm. to have everyone happy around me instead of not wanting to be around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you told me that you were more like a tomboy in a dress.
Yeah, I love putting on the dresses and getting dressed up in the cute little frilly things, but growing up with an older brother, I always had to try and keep up with him, so I'd be out on the field running in the frilly dress and the Mary Janes and getting them dirty.
I hear you're also a mega sports fan.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Your brother, I guess your father, well, you know, how did it happen?
Yeah, we still have only one TV in our house, mm-hmm. which isn't bad, but anytime sports would be on, they both would want to watch it, so it was either watch the sports or go in your room and be alone for a couple hours and have all the fun. So I just was kind of forced into it, but mm-hmm. grew to love it.
There is a conflict, though, Natalie, between your love of sports and singing. I mean, you get kind of riled up, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I have been known to get a little intense during games, and actually for this past World Cup, my friends and I went to a tavern to watch it, and I apologized beforehand to let them know. I said, just sorry for anything I say or do if the game's not going my way. But
and you do, as everyone knows, have a set of lungs.
Yes.
And screaming at the games.
Yeah.
This is not good for your voice, I would imagine, Angela.
Well, no, and I totally understand the voice issue here, but it's a shame. I mean, I hate to see a fellow soprano reduce her time spent with ESPN because she's worried about those little dumb folds in her throat.
Tell her. There is a better way, Natalie.
There is.
Absolutely. See, Natalie, when I feel like screaming something at the TV, I vocalize my reaction. You know, turn my need to express aggression into something good for my voice.
That sounds really good, but I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, Angela and Joanne have worked up a little demo here to show you what we mean.
Natalie, who's your favorite NFL team?
I guess I would say the Raiders.
Okay, so let's say you're watching the Raiders play New England in the AFC Championship game again, and the Patriots defense is getting away with murder. And then, like, two Patriots pass defenders are all over your receiver and nobody makes a call.
Okay, Angela, show Natalie what you can do with that.
Hey, referee, open your eyes, you lousy bum. Hey, referee, open your eyes, you lousy bum. Hey, referee, open your eyes, you lousy bum.
Wow, incredible. More exciting than Janet Jackson's wardrobe mishap, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Do you think that might work for you, Natalie?
Yeah, of course.
That's a great, great response. I love that. Well, since you're all warmed up now, Angela, how about mm-hmm. joining Natalie in a little Mozart duet?
All right.
Joanne?
Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org.
Angela, tell everybody what you're going to do.
We are going to sing the letter duet from The Marriage of Figaro, entitled Sullaria. This is where where Natalie is singing Susanna, and I am Countess Almaviva. Well, right now we are in cahoots. We're writing a little letter to try to trick my husband, who has a thing for Susanna. Now, I didn't like her at first, but I like her now. And if, I know we're in Radio Land, but if you could see her and see me, you know that when we switch outfits in the garden scene, there's no way he would not know that that ain't his wife, his girlfriend. Okay. But I told you opera was crazy. I told you opera was crazy. So at this time, we're trying to lure him into the bait, so we're singing Sularia.
Right. Terrific way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers, and a special thank you to our special guest, Angela Brown. Angela, it was great, great having you. And thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. Okay, you guys, let's take it from the top. Again, 17-year-old Natalie Ballinger will sing Susanna, and Angela Brown will be singing the part of Countess Almaviva.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Vinieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Production coordination by Kim Razeman, lighting by Brendan Randall, and technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program was produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. For more information about this program and our educational activities, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the Music Performance Fund, striving to enrich lives by sponsoring thousands of free concerts in the United States. Schedules at musicpf.org. From the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, supporting educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives to make our world more livable, on the web at grdodge.org. And from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is NPR, National Public Radio.